Love and marriage, love and marriage, go together like a horse and carriage. This I tell you, brother.
Well, it's that time of the week. Every time Frankie shows up, you know Joe Farini's not too far away, and his lovely wife Cindy Farini for My Marriage Matters, where we're going to chat a bit about just making your marriage stronger in Christ. Good morning, you two.
Good morning.
How are you?
Doing pretty good, although it sounds like we have a frustrated wife this week. Tell us what the scoop is in this topic.
Well, yes, she just said, I'm clueless as to our financial situation, and try as I might, my husband doesn't include me. Is there any way to learn what he already knows so I can be in the loop? And certainly, we both feel like this is really important, and I'll take a little bit of a step back to when Joe and I were getting married. And Joe suggested that we put our, you know, checking accounts together and we begin a budget. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking, oh my goodness, that is going to cramp my style. Because
you sound like I did, you know, when I got married.
Yes, exactly. That's right. Well, and you know, I had a big teacher's income, so you know, that was gonna be like really kind of a funny joke. But I remember thinking as a young woman, I give 10% to the church. I saved 10%, and I just felt like the rest was discretionary income.
That's right. Yeah. Spend.
That's what I'm saying. You're so intelligent. What did Joe say about this?
Well, that wasn't going to fly, and it's a good thing. Because, you know, when we began our marriage, I think it was a few years into marriage before we actually sat down with a financial counselor and really began to plan out our future and our retirement. You know, there wasn't anything like a retirement package when you have your own business. You have to make that yourself. And I'll tell you, if it were left to me, we'd be wondering, oh my goodness, what are we going to do in June when you retire? But because Joe has been faithfully learning and studying and inquiring and being educated by other people, I think we are in a position that we would never have been in had he not done that. And so my first consideration to this person, like what might be a smart move for someone to take in this situation, and that would be that it's, first of all, to recognize it's a team effort, T-E-A-M, together each accomplishes more. And if someone in the family does the finances better, there's nothing wrong with them, you know, handling that, taking that over type of thing. But I think it's important that they learn. Yeah.
I was nervous.
That they learn what the finances are, that they understand, that they know what to do. And, you know, I've always handled the finances. And when Joe was in practice and owned the practice, I handled the finances there too, wrote the checks, that sort of thing. But you know, both need to be in the loop of what's happening. So in our home, the checkbook is always available. It's always open. I have no secrets to hide. If he has a question, I can flip to where I need to if I'm doing it online or if I'm doing it on the register. We both like to see it both ways. So it's really important that whoever's not in the loop get educated and start learning, even if it's not your own checkbook, start learning what is it about finance that you may need to know down the road.
And see, you know, what bothered me more than anything else in this topic was she seems to want to be involved and he's like not letting her. What's that about?
Yeah. And that, you know, sometimes I think people just, it's his forte. He wants to know all the deals. But, you know, I've seen it in some marriages, and I'm not saying it's this marriage, but I've seen in some where, you know, one or the other will spend and not share with the other what they've spent or how they spent it or hide goods that they've purchased. And that is not good to make for a healthy marriage.
Right. Right.
So, Joe, what's your take on this?
I see a lot of red flags in this one. I mean, that she's at least asking the question and presenting the case situation that, you know, this is not being shared with me is, in one respect, a healthy thing because she's now bringing a real issue to the surface. And I would say, in general, this approach to life, this approach to finances really is a form of trouble. It may not manifest itself right now, but it will in the future. And as Cindy said, as I'm approaching retirement here at the end of June, clearly that doesn't just happen. It takes years of planning for that to happen, and we had better be on the same page. and appreciating what each one does. I mean, Cindy is still, I mean, she's still the one that does the checkbook, and I'm totally fine with that. But I need to be the one that's kind of overseeing, if you will, the budget and family finances and making sure that, that there is an emergency fund in place, that there's a retirement contributions being made. I need to do all those things. In our family, that's how we do it. And I totally trust Cindy. And I think that's the key here to this question is that there appears to be a lack of trust or there's something that's being hidden, you know, which is either way is not healthy. And so I think there needs to be a more transparent relationship here when it comes to this area of finances.
So what are some practical steps you two, she can take to slowly begin getting involved in finances?
I think it would be important that she start reading about this and learning. Joe will offer a title in just a minute for that. But I think she should begin asking questions. If her husband won't answer them, you know, you could probably go to a local, you know, like Tri-C locally here, where you could take some classes on finances and begin to learn not just how to keep a budget or make a budget, but also other financial planning as well. I would consider taking a class in reading. Way back in the day when we were first doing this, Joe used to take a certain evening every week, and he would just go through financial magazines at the time and really begin to learn about things like, you know, trusts and wills and saving and budgets and just really educating himself so that we could have a financial plan down the road that would set us up in a way that we would hope, you know, to make it through retirement. So I would suggest to her, just start learning. And as she learns, begin bringing things up to her husband so that he recognizes, you know, she's got some information here that might be helpful. And I'll just say this too. When we first started doing this, all of the terminology, all of the things that we were talking about, it just was sort of swimming around in my head. And I remember thinking, this is not, it's not my forte. I don't even enjoy hearing about all this. But now what I think is fun when you have David Safransky on and I listen, I think, you know, I know what those words mean. I know what that plan is. And I'm really glad that I did take the time to learn. I would not be a teacher of it. I don't know it that well, but I'm familiar with it.
I know there are some couples where either the woman stays at home and doesn't have an income, or if they both have an income, they each have separate savings and checking accounts. Are there any situations where it is appropriate to not have access? Like if you have a spouse that's telling you, well, I'm in charge of it, I'm doing what I need to do, what do you need to see? Is it ever appropriate? Any accounts?
Well, we believe in complete transparency in all areas of our marriage. And so that basically is an umbrella statement for saying, you know, if you have a business, then the business is a separate account. If you are, you know, looking to develop a unified approach to doing your personal finances, I think you need to have one checking account, one savings account. I cannot see the benefits of having separate accounts unless you are in a business and doing other types of, you know, business venture ideas. But even that, Cindy was completely exposed to the business. And so she knew exactly what was going on. But how you deal with the business aspects and all the, you know, articles of incorporation and all those different types of things, you know, that's separate from a personal finance, yeah, finances of a personal family. But, you know, the more transparent you can be in this thing, the better it's going to be either both now and for the future.
What's going on in the mind, you think, of the person who refuses to show their spouse this kind of information?
Well, like I said, I think it's a huge red flag that's being waved right now. And so I would have to really begin to understand better the situation in this case.
I would say for me, I have really appreciated that Joe and I have been transparent in all areas of our marriage. And if he didn't want to show me something, whether it's in the checkbook or on his phone, or I would be suspicious. And so I just feel like it's really important that you have that transparency. But then I'll also say, you know, because of that, there were some things like way back then, this is a little off topic, but, you know, we said, we're going to just do one email account so that we just we see what each other gets. And in some ways, there were times when that kind of wasn't always the best idea because one time we had our phones tied in. I was getting all his phone calls, his texts, and he was getting mine. I don't know what happened, but we had to get that figured out. But it was really a nuisance. And so, you know, there's different things with modern technology that you have to kind of wade your way through and kind of figure out what you're going to do. I know his code on his phone. He knows my code on my phone. I can get into his phone anytime, but I did not want all his phone calls. I did not want all his texts. Yeah. So those kinds of things you have to wade through. But, you know, overall, I think the bottom line should be you want to be transparent with each other. Get educated in this area so that you will have some good learning experience. And really, you know, here's the thing. If that husband dies, where does that leave that woman?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that's a very kind thing from the husband's point of view. I think that's just not a good way to do it. Joe, did you have a comment?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great transition statement, Cindy, to just starting the conversation about estate planning. And I mean, this would be a great opportunity for her to express that very concern that you just said. And begin to address the whole issue of estate planning. What's the future going to look like? This is where you find a financial planner like a David Safransky. And, you know, at which point in time, all of the finances will be collected and to create this estate plan. At which point in time, you will find out completely what you have and what you don't have. Mm-hmm. And so I think that would be a great way to engage in this topic. And so I think one of the initial types of plans that they could be doing just to get on the same playing field, so to speak, is begin to do, as Cindy said, attend some classes. We know one class that most churches actually have available to them is Dave Ramsey's Financial Peace University. Mm-hmm. And it's a fantastic resource for couples. And but there are other great books available on finance and management of your funds. And one book, I mean, I have several books, and I think throughout the week, I think we can post those on My Marriage Matters. But one book is Howard Dayton's book. It's called Your Money Map, subtitled A Proven Seven-Step Guide to True Financial Freedom. And I think everybody listening to this thing, this program right now, would want to have that day when they can say they are financially free.
Yeah.
And so this woman, what she's expressing, although she may not say it in these terms, what she's expressing is that she has concerns. And so this is, I think, a good way to help stimulate conversation between the two of them is to bring up this whole issue of what Cindy was talking about under this umbrella of what's called estate planning.
Yeah. It's 7:26, just about time to say goodbye. Cindy, why don't you tell us how to find you and any final thoughts you have as well?
Well, thanks. Just final thoughts. I think, you know, again, transparency is really important. This about oneness and togetherness and our future together, and have that planning really play out in all areas of our life, including this one. So that would be my final comments. And then we'd love for people to come to Facebook and on My Marriage Matters, give us a like. And we play games. We give constructive thoughts and things every Monday through Friday morning at 9:00. And then we also post this audio, thanks to Ron for giving it to our web guy who helps us then get it onto the My Marriage Matters. So that's really great. And then if you have a question, just either go to My Marriage Matters, or if you come to our website at joeferini.com or cindyferini.com, we'll answer any of your questions. First, we answer it to you privately right away, and then if you give us permission, we'll stick it on the radio.
All right. Thanks again, you two. Always appreciate your expertise and advice.
Thank you. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.